There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome to Healthy Matters, presented by Hennepin Healthcare, a network of neighborhood clinics, specialty centers, hospital, and Minnesota's Level 1 Adult and Pediatric Trauma Center. Please remember, we can only give general medical advice during the program, and every case is unique. We urge you to consult with your personal physician if you have health concerns. Now, here's Denny Law with your host, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin Healthcare, with more Healthy Matters.
And good morning. Welcome to this edition of Healthy Matters. As we mentioned earlier this morning, our topic today, and we'll welcome your calls and text messages, allergies. And good morning, Dr. Hilden.
Good morning.
I had somewhere, but I couldn't find it, the sound effect of a sneeze.
I thought
that would be fitting.
That would have been fitting. I could have probably just done it for you.
Or Paul Simon's allergies.
There's a Paul Simon allergy.
Absolutely.
Why don't I know that song?
Well, it's maybe before your time.
I don't think so. I'm a big Paul Simon fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I could probably do the sneeze sound effect for you because it's kind of sneezy season back again for me. And so we're going to talk about allergies today with my good friend John Sweet. Dr. Sweet, good to have you back.
Good morning, Dave.
As regular listeners will know, Dr. Sweet is at least every year, once or twice a year for the last 10 years. John's been joining us in the studio here in downtown Minneapolis. He's an allergist. He's one of my older friends in the medical profession. In fact, I met John on the first day of med school, and we sat down together, and I cheated off him the whole time.
I'm not sure.
Is that what happened?
I don't recall it that way.
No, I'm only kidding. I didn't cheat up anybody. But anyways, no, we've been through our medical careers together since literally day one. And John made it big. He's an allergist. He went on to further training after our University of Minnesota Medical School, and he trained with me at Hennepin County Medical Center and then went on to do specialty training in allergy. And he is practicing in the Western Metro and in downtown Minneapolis here at Hennepin in allergy. So we're going to talk today about allergies. Is it too late in the season? Can you still be getting allergies? What are the common things that are going on now? We'll talk about not only environmental allergies, but if you have some questions about maybe asthma or maybe food allergies, we could throw those in as well. So we're going to do a hodgepodge about allergies today. Before I do, I want to remind people about last week's show was about hernias. And as soon as the show went off the air, our phone lines at the hospital started ringing about people who wanted to go to the event that I talked about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we're having an event on Saturday, October 13th at 9 a.m. With Dr. Merrick and Dr. Crook. Both of these doctors will be on hand to show you what robotic surgery for hernia is like. It'll be a demonstration of how they do it, and they'll answer your questions, and they'll even do a free hernia screen on you personally if you so choose. It is free on October 13th, and so go to hennepinhealthcare.org/hernia for more information. Okay, back to allergies, or let's start in allergies. John, is it too late in the season to have allergies?
Well, when people say allergies, they often think about, well, it's either grass or ragweed. And there's still a little bit out there. It was really peaking in August and early September. It is going down, but it's also the start of mold season.
Oh, good grief. You've always got a new season.
it's coming and going.
Isn't it? I seem to remember having a pretty rough August this year. Why would that have been?
Well, we had some very good conditions for pollen counts, high elevated temperatures, high humidity, a lot of rain feeding the plants, long summer days, all those things, light, humidity, all that. And increasing levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, that's feeding the plants. So that's just food for plants, and that makes the ragweed just surge. And so a lot of people are suffering.
So ragweed is that little kind of, I can identify it. I won't be able to describe it very well. Is that a later season thing as well?
Yep. It actually appeared here in Minnesota. The first pollen count of ragweed occurred on July 31st. And pretty much, that's one of my questions I always ask my patients. How do you feel around state fair time? Mm. Usually about the second, third week of August, people start really noticing the ragweed affecting their allergy symptoms.
So you're the guy that gets up. Can you kind of tell what's blooming just by what symptoms people are seeing? Or do you like follow pollen counts in the line?
Yeah, I follow pollen counts. That helps me a lot. Anticipate. When patients say their symptoms start to get worse, I know when the grasses pollen start. I know when the trees start. I know when the molds are coming out. So all these things help me understand when patients say my symptoms started a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, you know, where they're coming from and their likely cause.
So I know you and I have talked about this before, a little bit about the causes of allergies. But for listeners who maybe haven't heard that before, could you, because I know you explained this really well, what are allergies? Just in brief, what's going on in our body? So what? There's a plant growing outside. Why does that bother me?
Well, if you got the genetic predisposition, like your parents had allergies, you have about an 80% chance of developing allergies in some form. If there's no known family history, you have about a 25% chance of having that. And the allergies are your immune system reacting to things that it should ignore. People without allergies, they inhale the exact same thing you do, dust, pollen, pet dander, nothing happens. But if you have allergies, your immune system has learned to identify those particular things as bad, and it actually is trying to get rid of them. That's where the sneezing and the postnasal drip and the cough. Your body's trying to expel that thing from the body inappropriately. Shouldn't be reacting to it. But as a result, you have all these inflammatory symptoms that can cause a lot of other discomfort, a lot of nasal congestion, headaches, recurrent sinus infections, ear infections, provoking asthma symptoms, all the different ways that allergies can manifest in the body.
So it's not a lazy immune system.
No, it's a hyperactive, well-nourished, bored immune system.
No, it's bored.
A lot of people perceive allergies as a weakness, but really it's an overreaction. It's an immune system that's too strong and too reactive.
Hence the antihistamines and stuff that we take. It tries to calm your immune system down a little bit.
Exactly. In an allergic response, one of the chemicals your body's release is histamine as a part of its defense mechanism. And that's why we take antihistamines. That's why we take anti-inflammatory medicines like steroids, try to block that reaction.
Is there – this is getting a little bit down to like what's in the future of treatment. But is there any way to instead of just treating the release of histamine and all that from this overactive immune system, to go further upstream and cause it so that my immune system isn't so overreactive in the first place?
Right. Yeah, there's some fascinating medications out there now that are used for extreme diseases like very severe asthma or very severe eczema that help block that immune response so it doesn't even propagate. But it's something we've had for over 50 years and more is allergy desensitization or allergy shots where we actually teach the body to not react to these things. It can be very, very effective.
Before we went on the air, Dr. Sweet knows that I have allergies. Everybody knows my business, you know, Denny, and he said I should, you know, that should come back in and get tested and maybe get on shots again. And I'm actually considering that. Could you say a little bit more about what people call them allergy shots. That's right. Immunotherapy in the medical terms. So tell us about that and what you're doing, what you're accomplishing, and is it safe?
Sure, absolutely. So the first thing is we want to figure out what is causing your symptoms, and that we can do with allergy skin prick tests. Very, very simple, tiny scratches on the skin. We wait 15 minutes looking for little reactions that look like mosquito bites that help us identify specifically what you're sensitive to. And then we can take that information, and then actually what I tell my patients, we take everything you're allergic to, that's relevant, we water it down, dilute it down so low your body can barely tell what it is, and then we introduce it to the body in tiny, tiny amounts. Just under the skin. And we watch, make sure you have no strong reaction, and off you go. And then every time you come back to the clinic, we give you a little higher dose each time, slowly increasing the dose, slowly building your tolerance from the inside. So when you are exposed to these things, your body doesn't react. Or if it does, it's much milder.
Do you do those allergy shots? Well, first of all, how often and for how long?
Well, there's called two phases of the allergy shots. There's a buildup phase, and then there's a maintenance phase. In the buildup phase, you come to clinic once or twice a week, and depending on what type of schedule we have you on, it's either about 25 visits, or for some select patients, we can even do it in 8 visits and build you up to a high dose where it builds your tolerance. By that time, we expect to be feeling quite well, reducing your medicines, reducing your symptoms, and then it gets easy. Then we start pushing the treatment visits out every 2 weeks and then once a month. We'd like to do that for about 3 years, 3 to 5 years. So when we stop, the effects can then continue for years afterwards. For most patients, 5, 10 years. A third of the patients are done for life. The other two-thirds, if the symptoms come back, it's quite a long time afterwards.
I was going to ask you that question because I did indeed have shots personally when I was a little kid, but this was back in the 70s,
right.
I would imagine. And you said a third of the people it lasts for life, but it would not be uncommon, is that a correct thing to say, to maybe need them to have your allergies flare up later in life?
Exactly. Very common. Patients come to me as young adults or in the middle age and such, and they said, yeah, I had shots in my teenage years, and we do the math, and 10, 15 years since they had stopped the treatment, and sure enough, they're back right on schedule.
Okay. So that's kind of a normal thing, I think, then, to need those again. We're talking about allergies today. Everything allergy with one of the region's premier allergists, Dr. John Sweet. If you want to get a hold of Dr. Sweet, if you want to see him, I'm going to tell you I'll tell you the phone number, and then I'm going to ask him to tell you where he practices. Do we have time before the break?
We sure do.
Okay, so the phone number to get a hold of Dr. Sweet is 612-873-6963. As always, that number is 612-873-MYMD. And John practices at a few locations. Tell us where you see patients.
Well, right downtown here next to Hennepin County Medical Center and the new Clinic and Specialty Center. Beautiful building.
He's on the first floor. Easy to find.
Easy access.
He got the high rent district. He doesn't even have to go up the stairs.
Coffee cart's right next door.
Yeah, exactly. First floor right near the coffee location, the Dunn Brothers location.
Yeah, and then we have the beautiful clinic in North Loop right on Washington Avenue. Gorgeous, gorgeous building in the historic warehouse district.
Where parking is free.
Parking is free and validated. And then we have also in Golden Valley, right off Highway 100, and right next one of the grocery stores there, right nearby. And it's very easy parking there, very easy access.
Okay, so Golden Valley, North Loop of Minneapolis, the Clinic and Specialty Center in downtown.
Yeah. Very good. I'll tell you what, as we head to the break, let's invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. You can call us with your allergy question, 651-989-9226, or send a text like some folks have already done and are doing. That number is 81807 for your text messages, 81807. Allergies, the topic today here on News Talk 830 WCCU. Healthy Matters returns, 52 degrees in the Twin Cities.
Open up.
All right, Denny, there's the song.
There is a Paul Simon song called Allergies, and that's what we're talking about today here on Healthy Matters, welcoming your phone calls and text messages for the doctors this morning. 651-989-9226. There's a line open if you want to fill it, or send a text, 81807.
Thank you, Denny. That was actually a pretty good song. We've got John Sweet, my good friend and colleague who was an allergist at Hennepin Healthcare. We're talking about allergies. We were talking about immunotherapy a little bit. And I think we might have – I want to go straight to the calls if we could, because I believe there's a question that's related to it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. Philip is calling in from White Bear Lake. Go ahead, Philip. The doctors are listening.
All right. Years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I had crippling allergies where I get bronchitis every fall. And I switched over to, I found down in La Crosse with La Crosse Allergy, I started sublingual immunotherapy. And right now I can ride a bike any time of the year outside without effects. So it's been terrific for me, but I know it's not endorsed by the FDA. And when will it be?
Those are great questions, Philip. Thank you for your call. So I've not heard of this, John. So we were talking about immunotherapy. Yeah. What is this about?
Yeah, it's all about how you get the allergen into the body without provoking a strong allergic response. And one way that is approved by the FDA is to do what we call subcutaneously, just under the skin. And that does involve a needle, but it's a very, very small needle. Other ways that are done, it's where it's been studied, is to do it sublingual. And currently it's not approved by the FDA, and unfortunately it's not covered by insurance.
So this is under the tongue?
Under the tongue, where you can try to do the allergy drops, where you take the allergen and hold it in your mouth and let it absorb through the body that way. It has been shown to be effective. The efficacy, however, doesn't appear to be as strong as it does when you do it subcutaneously or just under the skin. So it may not be for all allergy sufferers, but it is practiced in Europe, but it's not necessarily approved here yet. There are other ways it's being done by mouth and called sublingual tablets. And right now there is one available now for grass, and there's one for ragweed.
Do they dissolve or do you swallow them?
They dissolve. And they can be very good, but have to be taken every day. And a problem is that it's rare in my practice to find a patient who is allergic just to grass or just to ragweed, because if you're allergic to ragweed, you tend to be allergic to several other weeds. So that means a lot of other tablets that would be necessary. Or it's ragweed, grass, and tree pollen. So that's a lot of tablets to dissolve under the tongue. So there can be some limited use for it. But sublingual immunotherapy is a way of getting the allergen in the body without it being an injection.
Okay. Thank you for your call, Philip. So I want to talk about the various things that people are allergic to. We alluded to this at the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. Right now you said we're getting into the mold stuff. Could you talk us through briefly the calendar year? What are the various seasons? We start in the early – starting with the springtime.
Starting in springtime.
And then move us through the year for environmental allergies.
So typically in Minnesota, about mid-March, that's when we expect the snow to melt or such. And that's what happened this year. And that right then, when you get about 45 degrees or higher with a wet ground, you start to expect to see mold allergies. People will look around and say, I don't see anything green outside. Why is my nose running? Why do I have these sinus headaches? And that's typically the onset of mold allergies. And even then, we can start to even have tree pollens from the south travel north to us hundreds of miles.
Blowing north
yeah. And affect people. But then it's the tree pollens. Typically start end of March, early April. And that's like your birch pollen, your ash pollen, all those things. Then we move into May, where we've got more tree pollens like maple and oak. Just about the end of May, we'll start to see grass pollens. I would say end of the school year, that's when grass allergies start. Early June, July, that's when the grass pollens soar. And then we start to transition into weed season in July, August, September, the weed allergy season. And then now we're transitioning now into the mold season. And some people will say, well, that's it, right? When it snow falls,
right.
We're done.
That's what the beauty of living in Minnesota, doesn't it freeze everything to death?
That's true. But that's the time we start hunkering down, spending more time indoors. And that's when I see a large surge of indoor allergen sufferers. People start spending a lot more time with their pet, a lot more time indoor, recirculating dust mite allergens. All that October, November, December, January, the indoor allergy sufferers are knocking on my clinic door.
So when you say about dust mites and indoor allergens, I was always told I'm allergic to dust or something. Is it dust I'm allergic to, or is it some little critter that's floating around my house like a mite? That sounds
very good. Right. It is a dust mite. The dust mite is a tiny microscopic creature, relative to the spider, but it's so tiny, too small to bite you. But one, as I tell my patients, one dust mite lives for 3 months and will lay 200 eggs.
Oh, good grief.
Okay? You are allergic to the living dust mite, the dead dust mite, and all its waste. And they can add pounds to a mattress and pillows. And it's a very difficult allergen because it's one allergen that's inches from your nose for 6-8 hours a day, a third of your day, a third of your life with your nose next to something you're allergic to.
So in the pillow and the bed linens.
So when people wake up in the morning all congested, sinus pressure, and that's happening repeatedly, that can be a sign of a possible dust mite allergy.
Okay. So we're talking we've kind of moved into the indoor and the fall allergies, the stuff we're doing now, and we're talking about dust mites and indoor things. Are there things, and I know I've talked to John before, so I know there are some things you can do at the home to help you out in the fall, to make your home a little less allergenic. Mm-hmm. Could you tell our listeners what those are? And some of them, it's like, I think some of it even involves vacuuming your house. It might, but I'm going to see what John says.
Well, a lot of things. I would say if you have indoor allergies, start first in the bedroom. Like I said, you're spending a third of your day in that one room. So if you do have an indoor allergen, like dust mites or pet dander, cover up the mattress, cover up the pillow with an allergen cover. And those are covers woven so tightly that the allergen can't get through. All that's accumulated on the pillow mattress, you seal that up. Anything that's above that allergen cover, you wash at least once a week. Hot water, dry it on high heat. The dust mites can't survive in the hot, dry heat, and that's that kills them off. However, the eggs are very, very sticky from the dust mites, so it's very difficult to wash them away. So they remain, and they just keep hatching, and they keep growing back because you keep feeding them every night.
This is getting worse with every passing minute here. So the eggs are hatching on my pillow.
Exactly. Hey, to conquer your enemy, you got to know your enemy.
This is like lunchtime conversation at John's household. So you wash the stuff. You've got eggs. Okay, keep going.
So and HEPA air cleaner. You want to be filtering that air. A lot of people can think dust is like floating in the air, but the actual dust mite that you're allergic to and the particle that you're allergic to is very heavy. And if you shake something out, it will remain airborne for about 20 minutes or so, and then it falls to the ground. So it's on the surface. So it's when you're next to the surface, or if you're stirring things up, that's when you start to have symptoms.
So do you have to vacuum too?
Vacuum. You got a vacuum with a vacuum cleaner that has a good HEPA filter.
All right. We're going to talk more about that because there's a few more things. And I think like carpet is forbidden in an allergist world or something like that. We're going to talk about that after the break as well. We're talking to my friend and colleague, Dr. John Sweet, who is an allergist at Hennepin Healthcare. If you want to get in touch with John, I want to give you the number because John's one of our more popular providers. 612-873-6963 to make an appointment with him.
Very good. As we head to the break, we have another half hour of the show to go. We're talking allergies on Healthy Matters this morning, taking your calls and your text messages. And good morning. Welcome to this portion of Healthy Matters. We're talking about allergies this morning. Dr. Hilden, for those folks maybe joined us a little bit late, who did you bring with you today?
Thank you, Denny. We are indeed talking about allergies with allergist Dr. John Sweet. John practices at Hennepin Healthcare at our downtown Minneapolis location, our North Loop location over by Target Field in one of the coolest clinics you'll ever find in town, and out in our very convenient and spiffy Golden Valley location. So three different ways, three different places, whatever's most convenient for you, all of them have parking. And the one downtown is right on site. The ones in the North Loop and at Golden Valley are also on site and have the extra added bonus of being free. Dr. Sweet is an allergist caring for the full range of allergy conditions, and that's what we're talking about today. So just for listeners, welcome back, John.
Great to be here, Dave.
Okay, so we've talked about immunotherapy, about shots. We've talked about some ways to make your home a little bit more allergy-friendly. What I'd like to do now for the next few minutes is we have a lot of phone calls. I just want to spend two more minutes on what we were talking about before the break, though, before we get to the phones, and that was the ways to make your home a little less allergenic. You talked about laundering your bed linens and the like. Mm-hmm. What about your home environment itself, like carpeting and curtains and ceiling fans blowing stuff around? Are there any of those things we should be paying attention to?
Right. I often say you want your bedroom to look like it came from IKEA. You want hard, flat surfaces.
Oh, I love your sense of style, John.
Very Scandinavian. If you want to be able to to be able to wash it down, wipe it clean. And it's very hard to do that when things are covered in fabric. So wood furniture, wood floors, no drapes, blinds, things that can be easily cleaned and where the allergens can be quickly cleaned off.
And so you have to get rid of the dust bunnies under the bed.
That can help too. And get a good vacuum cleaner.
All right. I'm going to have to get rid of my bear skin rug.
Okay.
I like that. Make your bedroom look like. Yeah, I like that. It came from IKEA. Okay. Let's go to the phones
sure.
if we could.
All right. Jim in Columbia Heights is first up here. Jim, thanks for waiting. What's your question, please?
Dr. Hilton, I'd like to bring up bee stings. If you're allergic to one type of bee, are you allergic to all of them? And how long do you have to carry your EpiPen with you?
Great questions, Jim. John, can you answer
those? Yeah, that's a very good question. There are actually five types of venomous insects that we tend to be allergic to here in the U.S. Okay, you got honeybee, you got wasp, yellow jacket, yellow-faced hornet, and white-faced hornet. And you can be allergic to one and not the others. You tend to be allergic to maybe two or three. There are some common proteins shared among the venoms from each. But it can be life-threatening. It can be very dangerous to have we call it venom or bee allergy in short in the vernacular. And it's very important to always have an EpiPen. During the spring and summer months and into the late fall. And it's actually this time of year where venomous insects get a little more ornery, food supplies drying up. They're everywhere, and they tend to sting more at this time of year.
Ah.
So you got to be more careful. But the beauty of it that I don't think enough people know that venom immunotherapy or venom bee allergy shots can be extremely effective, 98 to 100% effective at preventing death from venomous stings.
You know, there's another caller, Larry in Litchfield. Larry, did that answer your question, or do you have another one?
Yeah, I was just wondering I've been a beekeeper for 6 years, and the first 4 years I had a normal reaction to a bee sting where it would swell and itch and, you know, just be localized. But I've been told there is ways to get desensitized to it, and I was wondering how long a process is that, and do I go to an allergist to have that accomplished?
Yeah, it's to be desensitized to it. Yeah, that's what the allergy shots or allergy injections can be extremely effective to. It takes about in some schedules during the buildup phase can be done very quickly in about 8 visits. Others take about 20. But then you have a maintenance dose about approximately once a month, and you do that anywhere about 5 years. And the studies show if you stop at that point, you have a very good longevity of the venom allergy not coming back.
All right. We've covered bees a little bit there. Should we go to the phones?
Yeah, Martha in Brooklyn Center. Martha, what is your question for the doctors?
Yes, hello. What are sneezing spells, and do they indicate that one has an allergy?
Yeah, it's sneezing definitely can be one of the symptoms for allergies that are affecting you, but also you would expect maybe some itchy, watery eyes, some post-nasal drip, sinus headaches right above the eyes or below the eyes. Those all can be signs of an allergy, but you're looking for the circumstances in that happening. Is it happening repeatedly in the same location or the same time of day? Is it around your pet or when you clean or stir up dust, or is it when you're outside when someone's cutting grass or raking leaves? All those can be signs that this could be an allergy, yes.
Can I go to the text lines, Danny?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, we've got some. This was it's a multi-part text. I'm going to read it to you, John. It says, our grandson had an anaphylactic reaction to eggs a couple months ago, just as he turned one, his first time eating scrambled eggs. He had eaten food containing eggs prior, such as pancakes, but not just eggs plain. He ended up in the emergency department, and now we're all extremely careful to have no eggs around. What is the outlook for him? What to expect in the future? How likely is he to outgrow this allergy, like his doctor thinks? How about foods that contain eggs, like cookies, pancakes? Will they cause such a reaction since he had such a scary one with eggs? So wrap up egg allergies in a one-year-old and talk about that, please.
Yeah, from birth to about age three, the most common food allergies are egg, milk, and wheat. Fortunately, those do tend to go away. Usually around age 5 to 9, you start seeing that. And it's something we can follow year to year to see if the allergic sensitivity is decreasing. A good proportion of children with egg allergy can tolerate foods made with egg, like, that have been baked in the oven for 30 minutes, like cake or muffins, those kind of things. Not pancakes, not waffles that are only cooked for a few minutes, but things that are baked for a good half hour and you're eating just a small portion of that food that was made up. If they can tolerate that, what we call baked egg, that is a real good predictor. If they can eat that on a daily basis, that actually can help expedite or quicken the egg allergy to go away. And it can be effective. However, that shouldn't be done flat out. You shouldn't test that at home. It's something that needs to be determined in the office. We often will do little food challenges with children to make sure that they can tolerate that serving at home. But because there are some egg allergic children who cannot tolerate even the baked egg, and you have to be very judicious in keeping that food away.
Are they allergic to some protein in the egg?
Yep,
is that
they
the
are
deal?
Allergic. It tends to be the egg white, the protein in the egg white, which is actually the most allergenic.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more about food allergies, because there are some texts coming in. I'm going to about how we test for food allergies. This texter says, how about identification of food allergies, including wheat, yeast, peanuts, wheat versus gluten, nightshades? Maybe just kind of in general, what is the deal with how do you test for? You know, there's so many different foods, and how do you do testing for food allergies?
Well, 90% of food allergies in the U.S. for children over age 3 and adults, it's going to be peanuts, tree nuts, fish, and shellfish. Those account for 90% of all the foods. If you have an egg allergy as an adult, you probably had it when you were a child. Now, there's gluten intolerance that people are familiar with, but that's more difficulty digesting the wheat. It's not your immune system reacting.
It's not an allergic immune reaction to gluten.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. And so we test for these. There's a couple ways to test that you can do, a skin scratch test, looking for the body's immediate response to these things. You can do blood tests, but they have to be interpreted very, very carefully. Positive number does not mean you have an allergy. It can mean that your immune system is recognizing this, but it doesn't mean it's reacting to it.
Doesn't mean it's overreacting to this thing just because your blood test is positive.
Exactly. As I tell my patients, the scale goes from 0 to 100. And some patients will come to me with a list of foods that are 0.15, 0.7 in terms of their reactivity. And they ask me, what do I eat? And said, well, if you were eating them before, that's the gold standard. If you eat a food without a symptom, you're not allergic. I don't care what a blood test says. I don't care what a skin test says. But if you eat it without symptoms, you're not allergic. So you have to be very careful interpreting any blood results that are given to you.
What about peanuts? You mentioned that. And I remember I don't know if it was a couple of years ago or 2 or 3 years ago on the show. You know, John's been on this show for 10 years with me, and I think about 8 or 9 years ago, we were talking a little differently about peanut allergies, because 2 or 3 years ago, I think it was, you started saying, start giving your kids peanuts. What's the latest on that? Is that still true?
Yeah. It was called the LEAP study, Learning Early About Peanut Allergies. It was a study that showed that if you have kids that are high risk for developing peanut allergy, and those include children with an egg allergy and or severe eczema, if you start giving them tiny amounts of peanut protein, about 1.5 teaspoons of peanut butter watered down and mixed in with food at anywhere from age 4 months to 11 months, if you do that consistently, those children that are high risk developing peanut allergy can reduce their chance by developing peanut allergy by 80% at age 5. And the studies show if you do that, even when you stop doing that at age 5, that the effect is continuing to be protective and decreasing the chance of developing a peanut allergy. So the old wisdom of holding back, restricting possible allergenic foods, that's turned on its head. We know now that it works also with egg and very likely is going to work with the other common food allergens as well. Just we need to know the right amount to give the infants.
So, I mean, you could take, of the foods you said is seafoods and shellfish and peanuts and the like, I guess it isn't real common that we give our kids shrimp when they're 2 years old, but it's a similar thing, is it?
Exactly. And all this is with a bit of advice that we have to be age appropriate and in a form that the child can safely eat.
Right. It doesn't mean you start open up a jar of mixed nuts that include peanuts and start giving them to your infant. We have to it in age appropriate ways.
Yep. All right. Excuse me. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more. We're talking about allergies today on Healthy Matters. Few clouds out there, 53 currently, and we're heading for 72. And good morning. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of Healthy Matters. We're talking about allergies today, and we've had, I know, a lot of text messages, Dr. Hilden.
We do. Thanks, Denny. I'm going to just go right to the phone lines. Here's one that is related to what we were just talking about in childhood allergies. And it says, I just tuned into this interesting topic. I'm sorry if you've already covered it, but we haven't. We're in it right now. Could your guest please explain why it seems there's a significant increase in children with food allergies than there was, let's say, 15, 20, 30 years ago?
Yes, it is. It is true. It's not just a matter of us looking for it more, but it is legitimate. The studies show that food allergies are increasing. It is becoming more of an epidemic. They can have about 8% of children now have food allergies, when before it used to be about 4%, just about 15, 20 years ago. So yes, the rate is increasing. And some of the risk factors for food allergies are moderate to severe eczema, red, itchy, scaly skin during infancy. They believe that's part of what's involved in what the sensitization or the allergy starts. Or even having a family history of food allergies, also another risk factor. And just having poor environmental allergies and or asthma.
Do you think there's this is a text from earlier that says, how do food allergies affect your digestive system? We've been talking about all this food allergy, and I think that's interesting. Does it affect your digestive system?
Some people will, if they have a very mild allergy. Usually the food allergy is going to actually occur on the mouth, and itchy mouth, scratchy throat, and it's going to happen recurrently. But some people will experience more abdominal symptoms and cramping, loose stools, or diarrhea. But those tend to be more with the fruits and vegetables if they have a what we call food pollen cross reactivity. There's a pollen in the can be very similar to the proteins we find in certain fruits. For example, ragweed cross-reacts with bananas and melons. But yeah, for some people, it rarely can cause those GI symptoms.
Okay, I'm going to consolidate about four texts into this one about dogs and cats and stuff. This one says, I just got a new dog, and I think I'm reacting. I've had a dog before with no problems. Is this possible? Would shots help? Talk about pets.
Good question. Patients always love, they come to me with allergy symptoms and they say, but my dog is hypoallergenic. And I say, there is no such thing. There is no one breed that
is a hypoallergenic,
dog. Meaning it gives off less allergen. However, there are individual dogs who give off less of the allergenic protein than others. And that I understand. And it's the protein that you're allergic to is in the skin. When it falls off, we call it dander. The saliva, and it can be found in the urine as well. Okay, so all these things, and some dogs give off more than the other, and same with cats. And yes, it can cause a lot of symptoms. And yes, allergy shots can reduce that. That's the number one thing. When I start telling patients that they may be allergic to their pet, it often can evoke some tears, both from children and adults. And I always reassure them, like, it's not going to happen because I know it won't happen. You're not going to get rid of your pet. But let's talk about how we can manage this, and I can definitely desensitize you and make you less allergic to these things.
So this texter is saying the previous dog was not a problem, and this one is. It is at least possible that maybe this new dog is shedding more or something
shedding
like that?
Shedding more or just carries more of the protein that he happens to be allergic to. Absolutely.
Is it all pets or is it just dogs?
Cats and dogs, mice, hamsters, gerbils, feathers, very common allergen as well.
Yep. All of the above.
All of the above.
So do you honestly tell people you should get rid of your pet? And how many in your like, you know, 15, 20 years of practice, whatever it is now, how many people have gotten rid of their dog versus how many have gotten rid of their allergist?
I think I get – exactly. They're quick to get rid of me if I tell them the pet must go.
That isn't going to happen. We've been talking about allergists. It's a topic that we could fill up like the whole show always with my friend and colleague, Dr. John Sweet. He's an allergist at Hennepin Healthcare. I do recommend if you do need to see an allergist, I can't recommend Dr. Sweet enough. I honest to goodness think he's the best allergist in the metro area. And if you want to see him, the number is easy. It's 612-873-MYMD. Ask to see the allergist, Dr. John Sweet, 612-873-6963. He sees patients in downtown Minneapolis, at the North Loop Clinic over by Target Field, and also at the Golden Valley Clinic in the metro area. Any of those three locations, 612-873-6963. I also want to tell people the hernia event is October 13th, hennepinhealthcare.org/hernia.
Open lines next week's show.
That's right.
Hope you join us for more Healthy Matters here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.